Jeff, Jeff, Jeff. Jeff, 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 Jeff. J-E-F-F, Jeff. J-E-F-F, Jeff. J-E-F-F, Jeff, Jeff, Jeff.
Aiming his hurricane gun right at us right now, Jeff Steins, our national and presidential expert, noted author. You can find his books over at Next Chapter Books. TotallyIowa.com, the Iowa Politics Report, and the Iowa Business Report come to us from KXEL in Cedar Falls, Waterloo. Hi, Jeff.
My guess is that you've been thrown out of better places than that convention.
Oh, gosh, man. I have, you know, at least at one daycare, three churches. I mean, come on, man. Mr. McNeil, we do not need to hear about a fair tax rate. Please leave.
I can only imagine when you go into the daycare, like, you know, I think this would run better if you did this. Is that what I'm to understand?
Let me tell you about the societal problems I'm seeing with these kids right now. And this goes, that's me. So,
and it's especially bad because your kids are in high school and college, but you keep hanging out at daycares.
Oh, yes. That's all right. Enough done. Oh, thank you, Jeff. And by the way,
get them to educate young people at an early age. That's what I meant.
Oh, that's certainly. They're harvesting ballots. Come on, man. You got to get them when they're young. Harvest those ballots, kids. Your hands fit in those slots pretty well there. Grab all those for us.
Okay. Exactly. That's right. Earn your keep, kids.
By the way, if you are watching the show on Facebook, which, okay. You can, of course, see Jeff Stein joining us on the video stream. It is Radio for Your Eyes. Bon appetit.
Thereby explaining why we're both in radio. This video feed is Exhibit A right here.
Oh, my God. It is not a pleasant look, kids. It's an old country buffet gone wrong. So, you and
I... I cannot look away. It's hideous, and I cannot look away.
Yeah, the story of my life. You and I last year talked about an interesting – I give you a question last year. Remember, this was Gaffigan versus Foxworthy. Both of them were in town doing their live shows that they ended up taping for streaming services. You went with Foxworthy. God, that still is a toss-up. I just read a Foxworthy line, which is if your largest tax deduction is bail – then you might be a redneck. I thought that was a pretty good line. But, Gaffigan, have you seen those now that they've both been released?
No. That requires me to have a social life and watch television, and I don't. Oh. I owe it to you to spend all my waking hours studying up on these issues so we can have this 26-minute conversation every week.
Both are brilliant, if you get the chance. Both are very funny.
Right.
Both
all
are
right.
Quite good. But I'm going to, away from that, I'm going to go back to politics. I'm going to give you an equally tough question because you have always said that elections are basically won on kitchen table issues.
Yep.
You have inflation, which is undeniably bad, which for the most part is not necessarily Joe Biden's fault. It is happening here. With the oil markets and prices, and I think with the change in how after the pandemic and how work environment goes, and plus, let's be blunt, a lot of executives making a lot of money. The executive from United Health Group yesterday announcing his annual salary was $142 million, and a lot of that's parts of that is inflation, kids. Let's make sure we understand that. Now, that being said, it doesn't mean gas prices aren't high. It doesn't mean that's a definite kitchen table issue. Versus. The removal of Roe v. Wade, which not only is got the pro-choice crowd up in arms, but the very palatable fear that is being encouraged by Republican candidates across the country that this is just the beginning, that contraception is up next, that gay marriage is up next, that's the case. Which kitchen table issue do you think will reign supreme come November at this point?
I'm going to say it's probably economic kitchen table issue. And I say that not to disrespect the other issue by any stretch, but I go by a piece that was in, and I'm looking on the screen now. When you started this, I started looking because I did a story on this yesterday or a commentary. It's a Reuters story that Politico was sharing.
Okay.
Now, this is a limited focus group, Matt, but Arizona's a key state, right?
Yep.
Democrats need Mark Kelly to win to hold on. So the folks at Reuters interviewed 21 women in a northern suburb or multiple northern suburbs of Phoenix. So a key area for the election. Of the 21 that they interviewed, and I have no idea where they found them, five said they were pro-life and Republican. So that leaves you 16. All 16 said they were pro-choice. But only two of the 16 said the issue was their top issue when voting. Half of the 16 said they did not know if they would vote for Kelly or a Republican because of, wait for it, concerns about the economy. So again, it's a microcosm, right? I mean, it's just a little snapshot in that area. But that came out at the same time that Nancy Pelosi sent a letter. Pelosi is what I was trying to say. I don't know why I stumbled. Maybe my teeth are falling out. I need to get better adhesive. Nancy Pelosi sent a letter to Democrats in the House and basically saying, you need to double down on abortion as the key issue. Talk about the radical nature of the Republican agenda. Let's see. It is urgent and essential that we remain disciplined and focused in sharing with the American people the dangers of the Republican agenda. That's the pivot point. They know it's a big fundraiser. Let's face it. Both sides, and this is not an equivocation, both sides have done a nice job of fundraising on the abortion issue over time. Now that it's actually a real thing, Pelosi seems to think that's the ticket to victory. The question is whether or not the polls bear that out, because you and I study this and talk about it all the time to where we're sick of hearing our own voices. Mm-hmm. But how many people are looking now here where I live in Iowa? I got to fill up with gas on the way home. I have never paid more than $4 a gallon, and it's $4.15. I mean, that's new. And that, I mean, who knows what it'll be by November?
Well, and I mean, and one of the things we can say is here's the tough part for the speculation on this. Mm-hmm. The overturning of Roe v. Wade is there, and if I'm the Democrats, I'm focusing on the return of sodomy laws that the Republicans have already started floating in Tennessee, and I think it was in Mississippi, that maybe they should go into people's bedrooms and dictate what kind of sex they can have in their bedrooms. I don't think that that's going to be something a lot of people are going to like. Now, but that being said, that outrage is going to be a steady burn. You and I both know, let's just take a very realistic hypothetical. All of a sudden, Russia withdraws from Ukraine, realizes this was a mistake, tries to save face, starts flooding the markets with oil to try to get back on the good graces of the economy, because there have been some reports now that the Russian economy is on the verge of collapse. The Ukrainians actually have captured something like 260 of their tanks. They keep shooting and killing their generals. I mean, Russia is getting their butt handed to them right now. And yeah. And if the feeling is that they can't win, do they acquiesce? Putin is removed some way. And the Russian government comes out and says, I'll tell you what, you will give you as much oil as you want. Floods the market. Oil prices drop. That is the other side of it. I mean, because once again, if all of a sudden there is a ton of Russian oil on the market and gas prices by September are $2.50, is anyone going to be mad at Joe Biden about $4 gas prices in May?
Oh, of course not. Exactly. Of course not. And you know, take the reverse issue. Remember, first Gulf War, 1991, George H.W. Bush, tremendous world leader, can't be beaten in 1992. So many leading Democrats passed on the race. I mean, you were a young man in shorty pants then, but so many passed on the race. And look what happened by the November election. The economy was in the tank and Bill Clinton moves in to the White House as a moderate. All right. So fortunes change quickly then. They change on a dime, no pun intended, today. Mm-hmm. And so, yes, you're looking at these issues and the kitchen table issues are paramount because of how bad things are. The question is there room for something else? The problem is, I think we discussed last week, and so forgive me for repeating, the problem you have with the issue of abortion, it strikes some people to their core, and they're angry. The question is, can that anger be sustained and be turned into votes in November, particularly when you have these other issues like inflation?
And what it comes down to is that it's the gamble. I mean, and we saw it last year, and I thought this was a little premature, the amount of Republicans who are screaming, especially in Minnesota, in regards to Governor Walz here in his race this year, where it was, oh, he mismanaged the pandemic. He basically made kids wear masks. He shut down schools. How dare he? Well, does anyone really care about any of that right now? No, it was an issue they were trying to build anger and distrust, but the reality is it doesn't hold, and nothing is more fickle than the economy, in the sense being is that we all hate it, it's all bad come May, but when all of a sudden September things have turned around and things are better, well, then the question is, can the Republicans find another, bullet point to basically hammer home to try to win?
Well, here's how the Republicans can hand the election to the Democrats: overreaching. I mean, for example, let's assume that the Alito ruling or something very similar to it is the ruling that's handed down. You already have a number of states that have so-called trigger laws.
Yes.
That if Roe is overturned, then there will be limitations or prohibitions on abortion. If the Republicans get out of their own way and just leave it alone through the election, then you've got a status quo, and you can then say as a Republican, nobody's overturning Griswold versus Connecticut. Nobody's trying to get into your bedroom. Nobody, dot, 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 dot. But there's going to be somebody who says this is the opportunity, right? And they're going to.
They already have. And they already have. There's a lot of them that they're saying. Yeah.
Yes. And it's such bad politics. Now, forget governance. We're just talking politics. Why in the world would you, if the Democrats are saying this is the worst case scenario, A, B, and C, why would you hand it to them? I mean, you do nothing, yeah. You get through this election, and you see what the reaction is. Because, again, it's a midterm. Democrats have the White House. Things are there for the Republicans. But, again, can't get out of their own way, Matt.
And it is not unprecedented that the party of the president holds power in an election, but it has to have something like that. I mean, you can just look to the West in Nebraska. You have the Trump candidate and you have the more moderate traditional Republican candidate. And there, I got to imagine a lot of Republicans are breathing a sigh of relief that Trump's candidate was beaten and beaten kind of badly. But he was kind of beaten there because he was already sort of floating some of these ideas out there. And that's the last thing. I mean, Nebraska, I don't think is on the verge of going blue by any means. But the way that they do their delegates, you could end up seeing two of their districts go blue if all of a sudden you have extremism come to the light. Now, that's not the case. I mean, there's other races. I mean, J.D. Vance in Ohio, I know that's a nightmare for Republicans in Ohio right now. Other places like Pennsylvania, there are these Republicans that are out there that are definitely pushing that idea that this is the first step. Gay marriage is next. Contraception is next. Maybe even going after the interracial marriage. You know, there all these things are out there and being talked about. And the more that happens, I mean, there's a reason why Mitch McConnell and a lot of the leadership in the Republican Party right now are saying nothing about this potential ruling from the Supreme Court.
And it's wise counsel, and that's why I'm surprised McConnell is keeping quiet generally, because he doesn't seem to have the sense politically these days.
Well, one clarification really quick. He did come on out and say to a Republican group, which I don't think he wanted to get out, but it did get out, that he said that they would definitely make it illegal nationwide, and that would be the Republican goal, is to be make abortion illegal nationwide. You know, that one hurt. And that goes back to your point, is that if it's lunacy, if it's extremism that the Republicans get known for, they will not win.
You can have the goal of saying, I don't want abortion and I want every single state legislature to vote against it. That's one thing. But when you're the Senate minority leader,
yes,
50-50, everything you say, and you've just gone on the floor and voted against Chuck Schumer's bill to legalize it in all 50 states. Why, again, would you say, to your point, well, we'd like to make it illegal everywhere?
Yeah.
Federal officials either need to get out of the way. I mean, again, that part just makes no sense. Now, Nebraska, I had the occasion to do a couple of different speaking trips to Western Iowa.
Wow. This spring.
The 712 area code. They have a number of fine things, including Blue Bunny ice cream.
Indeed. And yes, they do.
Okay. Yeah. A couple of different hotel stays, and I'm watching Omaha TV.
Yeah.
All right. And the ads and the news coverage. I mean, this thing was really percolating. You know, the Trump candidate, the Trump endorsed candidate lost. And that's what you've mentioned. But he had a lot of other issues, including sexual misconduct allegations. But what was more important is Tom Osborne endorsed somebody else. If Coach Osborne said, vote for this person over here, I mean, that, I think, made some difference. But at least we're done with this. I'm 55-0, I'm 56-0 kind of thing. Because you tell me how David Perdue is going to pull it off in Georgia.
I don't.
You tell me how either Oz or, and I'm sorry, I don't remember the other
J.D.
fellow's
Vance.
Name, Robinson. I don't think either one of them are going to win. I think Kathy Barnett is going to win in Pennsylvania. Because, again, these two are spending all this money knocking themselves out, and she's right there in a dead heat. And so how is it going to be the night of the 24th? I mean, we've got Pennsylvania Tuesday. We've got Georgia the following Tuesday. How is it going to be when you and I talk in 2 weeks and Oz falls and Perdue falls? What does that tell us about the magic of a Trump endorsement?
Well, I mean, what Trump will do is say, 5 seconds before the election, I withdrew my endorsement, so I'm still 1-0 of them. I mean, this is a guy that thought China had a hurricane gun, for God's sakes. He's not a smart man. Let's take a break. Speaking of not smart, when we come back, I want to talk about the Republicans' new war on private companies, and that is a really weird new change in direction. Jeff Stein joining us, 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. It's the Matt McNeil Show on AM 950. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show. We got childish with the video cameras while we were in the break.
Are you 12? Are you literally 12 years old?
I am like 12, man.
Revoke your camera privileges during the parade. We might have to do that.
Well, no, it's okay. My pants stayed on this time.
It's frightening in every respect. I just sent you a picture by email of a screen capture of some of that shenanigans, just so you can make it your desktop wallpaper in there.
Oh, dear Lord. That's disturbing. It's our modern technology, isn't it? Oh, my God. Yes. I've grown up with Republicans saying the following thing, that private businesses are the gold standard. You don't mess with the private markets. You don't do that. And things started to change with social media. And reminder that social media pages were kind of put into a tough situation. They had a lot of people putting out a lot of fake information about magnetized vaccines and you know, that of course, the election was stolen. And, of course, it ended up leading to an insurrection attempt at the U.S. Capitol. And so Republicans get mad because they want to be able to scream anything on a social media page, and they can't because these companies are saying, no, we're not going to just allow the Howler Monkey exhibit to open up. So they get mad at the private companies that are doing that. And all of them are private companies. It's not a public utility. Social media is a private – well, these are all private companies. Now you get – so they were mad at them, and there were all these – this saber rattling at the private – at the social media companies. Now this war against Disney, I just don't know where they think they're going to go with this. I mean, of course, it started when they were critical of DeSantis's Don't Say Gay bill, which it's their right. You know, corporations are people, my friend. You know, it's their right to be able to say we disagree with this. And the DeSantis and the Republicans in Florida have been on the war path to basically, you know, hold them accountable at all costs and to try to hurt the Disney company. They're trying to hurt a private company as much as they can. And now you even have Josh Hawley out there making it to where he wants to try to strip the copyrights for all the Disney, you know, trademarks away, which won't – that has no chance of happening. Even that Supreme Court would say, no, that's not going to happen. But still, I mean, are you a little surprised at the war against private companies now?
For a group that has historically said we're the capitalist and greed is good, sure, obviously. Here's the thing with regard to Disney, and this has nothing to do with what they've done down there. But the Disney company had gotten for years special breaks, right? They, in essence, could create the Magic Kingdom and rule within a Magic Kingdom. Mm-hmm. So by taking away those special privileges, well, that changes the ballpark or changes the game for Disney. The question is, why were they given such preferential status to begin with? That makes your point even stronger. When we think the company's going to bring in jobs and they do things we like, we do this. Now, the copyright thing's a little more complicated. Holly, I don't think quite has it right, but you can only have a copyright for a certain period of time.
75 years, isn't it? I think it is, 75.
And it's changed over the course of time. It's life of the author plus however many years. And if it's a company, it's 99 years and all this. Bottom line is the copyright on Mickey Mouse is about to expire, okay, within the next decade. And previously, Disney had gotten some special dispensation from Congress because, again, it's such an iconic figure. And you don't want Matt McNeil in his garage pressing up T-shirts with Mickey Mouse because the quality may not be the same as the Disney company. It may be better as opposed to a sweatshop overseas that they may be using, but that's besides the point. Again, they've been getting this special consideration. They got the special consideration because it was going to be in the best interests of certain politicians. And as a company, you got to be careful because if you're taking the special privilege, it can be revoked. I'm not saying it's right to do at this point. I'm simply saying Disney is a very unique case because look what they gave them a half century ago to set up a second theme park in a swamp in Florida.
But to Disney's credit, I mean, let's face it. I mean, I was looking at some of the numbers of the amount of money they bring into Florida. The amount of jobs they basically cover in Florida, which is, I mean, they are by far the largest employer in the Orlando area by, and pretty much, I think, the entire state of Florida by a mile. Yeah, and I mean, we're running out of time, but I mean, it is surprising that this is usually, as you said, they loved them until all of a sudden they say, well, maybe we disagree with this bill, and now it's, you know, I've never seen the Republicans turn on a private company that fast.
Oh, there's no question. And if you want an income tax in Florida, get rid of Disney because you won't be able to fund the government without the tourism dollars they bring in.
Absolutely. And that, I think, is something that they are thinking that Disney won't do. But I'm not sure about that. Jeff Stein, yeah. Once again, the Iowa Politics Report. We'll post it a little bit later on. Thanks, Jeff. We'll talk to you next week. Hour 2 is up next.